Hey, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to this very special edition, a Christmas Eve edition, episode number 394 of The Next Step.
Hi, this is Susie of In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to a new episode of The Next Step. Since 2008, The Next Step has been coming to you on a weekly basis, bringing you the voice of Armenian Orthodox spirituality, Armodoxy for the New World. We invite you to listen in as Father Voskin connects the dots between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical, emotional, and spiritual worlds. Whether you're searching for practical and deeper applications of faith in your life, or if you're one of the many disenfranchised members of the church community, you've tuned in to the right station. Father Voskin has a message for you. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Well, welcome and Merry Christmas to you all. It is Christmas Eve here in Southern California, which means that most of you listening to us have already experienced the beginning of Christmas, or perhaps even been done with Christmas at this point, because we are in one of those last time zones. But I want to take this opportunity to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas. We have a very special show for you today. It is one that is intermingled with Christmas carols. Now, hold on. If you're like me, I know, okay, right around Thanksgiving time here in the States, a second after Thanksgiving, they started playing Christmas carols on the radio. And you get your share of it. It's enjoyable. But how many times can you listen to It's a Wonderful Christmas and White Christmas and Chestnuts Roasting by an Open Fire? Oh, they are treasures, aren't they? They are treasures of Christmas time. But we're not going to go that way today. Yeah, well, of course we're not going to go that way, because we are the next step. We are the next step in Armodoxy. We are the next step in, well, where we should be going. And, you know, this whole Christmas season, I started it off by, well, taking as a challenge the words of Pope Francis. His Holiness delivered a very powerful sermon about a couple months ago, I would say, and he said that Christmas is a charade. And, you know, this gets the hackles up on a lot of people. Like, what's going on? The Pope? Yeah, isn't he the number one Christian? Isn't he supposed to be telling us about all those wonderful and warm feelings about Christmas? And here he is saying it's a charade. Well, I took it as a challenge. You know, he says, we are close to Christmas. I'm quoting, and I'll have links to everything that we do today on today's show on the show notes, so you can go there and see the articles and the stories in their entirety. But Pope Francis said that we are close to Christmas. There will be lights, there will be parties, bright trees, even nativity scenes, all decked out while the world continues to wage war. The world has not understood the way of peace. The whole world is at war. And that's where we start off today's next step, because I took that as a challenge, and it's certainly disheartening, to say the very least, that how can we sit here and talk about Christmas, talk about all these wonderful things when there's terror in the world, terror in the hearts of people, and so many wars, people being deported from their ancient homelands. We're seeing an exodus, we're seeing a refugee crisis in the world unlike any other. And we, of course, remember that the first refugee was Christ himself, the first refugee taken out of his home and exiled. And we follow his steps, and we follow where he went. And he was born as the king, the prince of peace, not in some palace, but in a manger, because there was no room for him in an inn, so the scriptures tell us. But what does that mean to us today? Are these just words that we conjure up? Are they just the lyrics of Christmas carols? or can we truly take them as a challenge? And that's what I hope we'll do today by intertwining some music. Now, I have to tell you that after we got off the air last week, Susie, our producer, turned to me and says, "Wait, you did that last year." No, I didn't. We had a little disagreement. I shared with you some of my favorite Christmas carols. And in that sense, yes, Susie, you're right. But in the sense of what we're going to be doing today, it'll be something totally different because I want to share with you some Christmas carols that you may not otherwise hear. Songs that really go unnoticed. And through the years, these have, yes, they have been inspirational to me, and I'm going to share with you some different kinds of melodies, some different kinds of tunes today as part of this Christmas Eve podcast. Well, I want to start off with this idea that Christmas is a charade. We have these bright lights, we have Santa Clauses, we have so much festivities, and in reality, there is a sad side to where the world is at today, particularly in reference to war. And how can we justify the two? Now, something very interesting happened in 1914. And it was something that I was made aware of back in the late 1960s, early 70s, when the Vietnam War was taking place. And there was talk about Christmas truce. And I, as a young kid, I always thought that this was unusual. You know, okay, here you are an enemy with somebody else. You have told that this is your enemy. And that yet on Christmas Day, you put down your arms and there is a truce declared. A truce, yeah. You put down your arms, you put down your guns, and you are ready to, well, to join in some fraternization with the enemy. I always thought that this was very unusual because, you know, they'd be talking about war in Vietnam. They'd be talking, and not only talking at this time, by the late 60s, early 70s, television was so popular, television news was so popular, that this was the first war that was brought into our living rooms. I mean, every day you'd see the pictures, the images of carnage, you'd see the images of entire fields, entire villages being destroyed. And all of a sudden, here comes Christmas, December 24th, on that night, they were told that it was okay to put down guns. Now, this wasn't very widespread, but it was talked about during the Vietnam era, and it got me curious about it. And I did some research about the Christmas truce, and it happens that in 1914, during World War I, there was a truce declared. A truce declared among the Germans and the British, but it was really at a grassroots level. It wasn't anything that the governments wanted. Remember that, okay? The governments are not going to, the politicians are not the ones who are going to make the truce. It's people. It's people with living the Spirit of God. Christmas truce. I'll read you a little bit about it from Wikipedia. It says, the Christmas truce was a series of widespread but unofficial ceasefires along the Western Front around Christmas 1914. In the week leading up to the holiday, German and British soldiers crossed trenches to exchange seasonal greetings and talk. In areas, men from both sides ventured into no man's land on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day to mingle and exchange food and souvenirs. Imagine that. The war is over. Now, 1967, a relatively unknown group called the Royal Guardsmen, they took off on that theme with a lovable dog named Snoopy. Yes, you know him of Charlie Brown fame, of the Peanuts characters. Yes, Snoopy's Christmas. We'll start off with that song, okay? Here are the Royal Guardsmen talking about a truce that took place. Snoopy versing the Red Baron, but it is Christmas Eve. And all is well.
Oh, time by- bloody Red Baron was flying once more. The Allied command ignored all of its men and called on Snoopy to do it again. It was the night before Christmas, 40 below, when Snoopy went up in search of his foe. Despite the Red Baron, fiercely they fought. With ice on his wings, Snoopy knew he was caught.
Christmas bells do. They change people, don't they? Christmas time is a time of change. Christmas time, just the bells, the music, it's changing. But as we heard, someday it'll happen again. Someday they're going to meet again some other day. Yes, tragically even for Snoopy. But in reality, there's something about these truces that are not permanent. And who are the ones who are responsible for the impermanency? I mean, think about it. You know, John Lennon, that song that he has, you know, the war is over if you want it. Well, who are the people that don't want it? Well, obviously, there are so many interests involved, political interests, financial interests. And sure enough, in 1914, actually, I'll continue reading right over here. It says, the following year, a few units arranged ceasefires. This is the units, grassroots again. But the truces were not nearly as widespread as 1914. This was in part due to strongly worded orders from the high commands of both sides prohibiting fraternization. Soldiers were no longer amenable to truce by 1916. The war had become increasingly bitter after devastation, human losses suffered during the battles of the Somme and Verdun, and the incorporation of poison gas. Somehow people know how to destroy, how to desecrate, how to get rid of life, of the most precious gift that God has given us. And so here we are on Christmas Eve, 2015, exactly 100 years later than these truces, that really didn't work out. Why? Because people, for one reason or another, and I won't go into the reasons. You know my reasons. Yeah, I'm going to put it on those politicians. But human nature has a lot to do with it too, doesn't it, right? Human nature, that wanting. And when we express in terms of armodoxy, I've shared this with you in the past. Armodoxy, when we talk about sin, the sin isn't those actions, but it is those deadly sins that are inside each and every one of us. The greed, the lust, the wanting of things that we can't have, the wanting of putting our will above the will of God. And we get confounded, and the result in the worst case, of course, is war, genocide. In personal levels, we see that there is a chaotic situation. And so this Christmas Eve, we have an opportunity, really, to think about who we are, what we are, what we're doing, how we can become those instruments for peace, and how we can really bring peace if we want it. It really begins with each and every one of us. "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen" is a song that I particularly care for because it has so many variations. I've shared with you in the past. In fact, my ringtone on my phone is "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen" during the holiday season because there's just such a catchy tune. This is a band that was very popular back in the 70s, early 80s, Chicago. And I think most bands end up doing a Christmas album here or there. This is their version of "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen." "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen." Now, what's important about these songs, of course, is that everybody brings their flavor. And I want you to remember that. It's not only a question of getting a song, but it's interacting, reacting to that song, and bringing your own self into the song. Chicago, big band with big band instruments, with all this brass section, taking that tune, a relatively popular tune at Christmas time, an ancient Christmas carol. Well, as ancient as you get when it comes to Christmas carols, what, a couple hundred years old, but taking it and revising that, and you feel like there's a motion to it. And this is also important, that motion, you know, it has to push you, set you off in motion. And you know, that motion is really, really important because throughout Armenian Orthodoxy, in Armenian liturgies, you hear that motion. It guides you. For instance, the first service of the day in the Armenian church, the first one, it's called Kisherayin Jam. It takes place in the morning hours before the sun rises. It's called the night hour, Kisherayin Jam. And it starts off in this rhythmic sense. It starts off with the priest reciting the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." And then he says, "Lord, if you open my mouth, I shall sing your praise. Deriete shurtunasim panas peranim yerkeses ornutunusko. And the deacons, actually the people, respond with, Blessed is God, ornyale astvats. And at this time, the sun hasn't risen yet. And the melodies start. It's almost like a clock that's being wound up, okay? Getting ready. And as it's being wound up, the people, they're putting their energy into this liturgy. And they start singing. Hishesuki kisherizanunko der pochesen sir nezban bariev lezuk merbad mesen skordiert navor takavorin. And it just kind of flows. It's still night. The sun hasn't come up. And all of a sudden, they start chanting, Zartik Parkim Zartikev, and it's almost like a march. Awake, it says. That is what it, that is the words of this hymn. Zartik, wake up. And it's waking us up from our slumbers, and we get into Aravod Luso. Aravod Luso, the morning light has now risen, and the love of God is inside each and every one of us with this new day. And so all of a sudden, you are totally invested, completely, soul, body, and mind. Through this service, you are invested in this liturgy. And so it must be with Christmas carols. They need to wake up this dormant side of us. And that's what true Christmas carols do, as you just heard a few minutes ago. But along with that, with that Christmas carol, that has to come an excitement to kind of push us to the next level, push us to the next step, if you will. Now, what I'm going to do next is I'm going to share with you some exciting music, okay? Some exciting music that kind of pushes you and gets you to think a little bit, okay? And you're going to see where I'm going with this in the next few songs that we play. This is a group that I have had the good fortune, actually, back when I was an early teen, I got turned on to this great group called Jethro Tull. I know you know that, but there is influences of Scottish music in there, of course, and there is influences, of course, of hard rock. And they've been able to successfully meld them together. Why I've been lucky is a lot of groups have fizzled out along the way. This group has lasted for over 40, almost 50 years. And I've had a chance to follow them, listen to all their great music. And we're going to hear something from their Christmas album. I told you all groups end up doing a Christmas album. But their Christmas album is completely refreshing. Remember, all these things that I'm playing today will be on our show notes. Do check them out. You'll love this kind of music. But this is Jethro Tull from their Christmas album doing We Three Kings. But of course, Ian Anderson is always very correct. He's very articulate in the way he expresses himself, unlike some of us. And he said this is called We Five Kings, referring to the five members of the band. Anyway, enjoy. like that. I didn't play the whole thing. It was just like some good little music there, right? It just kind of flows. It gets you excited. But what did get me excited back in the early 70s was the ability of this music, of Tull's music, to be able to talk to the heart in things that were important to me, particularly in the case of our relationship with the divine being, with something bigger than ourselves. And I remember back in 71 when Aqualung first came out, and a whole side was dedicated, my God, and there was this idea and the concept of slipstream. You press on God's waiter your last time as he hands you the bill, and you swim in slipstream. You slide in that slipstream. You know what slipstream is? If you had a VW, you know what slipstreaming is, right? You get behind those trucks, and the wind just kind of like pulls you, sucks you along the way. Yeah, you gotta have a VW to know what I'm talking about. Just the weight of the VWs are so light that you'd get this stream that takes you in. But right along that same time, Ian Anderson, the leader of Tull, came out with this beautiful song called A Christmas Song. And it was disturbing. It was disturbing because it brought up basically the same questions that we bring up today. And I want to share that with you right now. This is Christmas Song. Now, on an impressionable young kid, this was my moment of truth. You know, what do we do with this Christianity that we get together once a year and we talk about Christmas? What is Christmas? It has to be more than just a celebration of a babe in a manger. It has to be more than just the bright lights and the stars in the sky flashing at us and telling us, here is the baby. But that piece has to mean something. And it took on a very special role in my life, this music. It was able to really inspire me to do a lot of the stuff that we do right now, we take for granted through the In His Shoes ministry. It was when we first started the In His Shoes ministry that I heard this other song. This is in the early 2000s. This is by Joan Osborne. It's called What If God Was One of Us? And it became a theme song for us at In His Shoes. And it's not a Christmas carol, but it is, right? It is talking about, well, what if God is one of us? And isn't that what Christmas is all about? God deciding that, yeah, you know, he wants to be one of us. We have an opportunity to know God. That's what the incarnation is all about. That's what Jesus Christ in our midst is, and our ability to see Christ in everyone. This is Joan Osborne doing a song, about 15-year-old song, right? Called What If God Was One of Us.
It's over the Gonderdyland Rock. Saints, they all tremble and cry for pain, for the Lord's going to come in his heaven airplane.
See, as we listen to these, we start understanding that really Christianity, true Christianity, is really, for me, okay, it is really the religion of choice, because it is not about something up in the air, it's not something to come, but it is something about right now. It's about our interactions, our ability to be able to live with one another, to find that peace here in this world. At the birth of Christ, the angels said, "Peace on earth, goodwill among men." Now, is this just a common phrase? Is this something that's in the Hallmark cards? Is this something that we just go around making a Christmas carol out of? Or is it possible? Is it something that we need to really make into our lives? And it's our ability to find the Christ child all around us. And the Christ child is there. The Christ child is all around us in the people that we serve, the people we help, the people that we reach out to. It's finding the child, well, in the least of our brothers, in the least of our sisters, to see that God is one of us. I think that's what incarnation is about. And that's why I shared with you this song. Now, along those same lines, how about some other players in the Christmas song? Now, I'm going to do something very unusual right now. I'm going to play you a song which I never really thought about it until a couple weeks ago. I was driving and just listening to this song, and I thought of a character that goes unnoticed in all of this. I mean, we all know about Jesus, the baby in the manger. We know about Mary and the trials that she had. We know about the virgin birth. We read about it, and then she's become the focus of many Christmas carols too. But what about Joseph? What about Joseph, this good man? This man who was really basically told, accept what you are seeing, accept what you are hearing. And really, his only connection, think about this for a moment, his only connection in this story is that he had this tremendous love for Mary. He loved this woman. He must have loved this woman. That, you know, that, hey, she's pregnant, and by the way, it's not yours. What? I love you so much. I care about you so much. What was Joseph's reaction? What was Joseph thinking at the birth? And all of a sudden, I'm listening to this beautiful love song, again by Tull. This goes back to 1972. It's called Wondering Aloud. And all of a sudden, it just occurred to me that, is it possible that these could be the words that Joseph was thinking? And here we have this opportunity, some 2,000 years later, to be able to put ourselves in the shoes of others, in the shoes of Joseph. What must he have been thinking about? This beautiful woman that he cared about and loved was going through her pains. And the thoughts that he must have had, this child is being born, all these miracles taking place. What about the future? Where are we going with this? And I heard this song, Wondering Aloud. I want to share with you a very special rendition of it. And, well, put your feet in his shoes. What must he have been thinking? I think this is a very possible
one, two,
thought.
Three, two, two, three. Wondering aloud how we feel today. Last night sipped the sunset, my hand in her hair. We are our own saviors as we start. Both our hearts beating life into each other. Wondering aloud, will the years treat us well? As she floats in the kitchen, I'm tasting the smell. Yes. Off toast as the butter runs, then she comes spilling crumbs on the bed, and I shake my head. And later I'm out where the little worm's shouting for more. giving himself completely, she did long before. And it's only the giving that makes you what you are. Wondering aloud, will a sound one day be born? To share in our infancy, in the child's path we've worn. In the aging seclusion of this earth, that our birth did surprise, we love a desire.
And so you see, it's all about Christmas carols that mean something to me. And I hope that Christmas carols mean something to you. They're a beautiful way to take a truce from the war of the world, to take a truce, and a real truce, to be able to look within and say, really, who is my enemy out there? What am I really all about? Am I bigger than what they tell me I can be? Do I need to answer violence with more violence? Do I need to answer hatred with more hatred? Or can I really find that the Christ child being born is something so incredible, is something so revealing that it touches me in a unique way, that I become a new person, that I am changed. Now, think about that for a moment. If you had this opportunity to begin again, the excitement that you would have, what would you do? There would be certain things that you'd do all over again. There'd be certain things that you might not do. But the period of Christmas is also a period of renewal. Just as the solstice, it signals the new life that comes with the birth of the sun, S-U-N sun, the winter solstice, right? It's new beginnings, and so is Christmas. Christmas is wiping the slate clean. You see, God tried to intervene, tried to find a people that would get along. He gave the laws, he gave the prophets, all rejected. And he said, okay, I'm not going to give up on my creation. I'm going to give my very best. And he gives us this child, Jesus Christ in the manger, who is brand new, who is completely, completely refreshing. I always remember Christmas Eve, a very dear, dear priest in my life, Father Gurgen Muradian. I had the very delightful pleasure of serving with him for the last 15 years of his life. He was in Southern California, and he came and became, he was my assistant. That's what he would call himself. But really, he had so much to offer. He was the abbot father of Horvirab, and he had retired here in the States. And he came and he was with me through the last years of his life. And every Christmas Eve, we'd have an opportunity to celebrate the Divine Liturgy. And one Christmas Eve, he shared a sermon which was so beautiful. I always remember that in his words. And it was an older man. And he said, you know, the freshness of a baby. He says, that baby Jesus in the manger, can you imagine the freshness of that baby? He says, take your nose and shove it into those creases between his chin and his chest, you know, the neck part. This is like an accumulation of sweat, of dried milk, and all kinds of stuff. And you put your nose inside of a brand new baby right at that point, and you get the most delightful of all fragrances. I mean, it is just refreshing. It is renewing. You think about that for a moment. If you could bottle that, you know, it's a multi-million dollar fragrance, isn't it? Well, he would always remind me about this, the freshness of Jesus. And that's what Christmas has to be. It has to be a fresh start. It has to be the newness that comes into our lives. Now, once that comes in, what do you got to do? You have a reaction to that, too. It's not just that God reacted with us. We have to react to God. And we have to answer back God. And I'm going to end today's little Christmas carol celebration today with a rendition of Go Tell It on the Mountain by the Blind Boys of Alabama. And I want you to just hear the excitement in their voice. And this is the excitement that you have to have on Christmas. This is what Christmas is all about. It's not just God reacting with us. It's us reacting back to God. And in that sense, Christmas carols, the excitement that they bring into our lives, this is what the value of this musical tradition is all about. Our singing, our rising from our normal state and interacting with the presence of God. Here are the Blind Boys of Alabama.
Go on the mountain. Tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain.
Tell them that
Jesus Christ is Lord.
While shepherds kept their watching.
Oh, silent flock by night.
Something really good. And I'm going to leave you today asking you that you'll tell people about this podcast and this ministry, and you'll tell people to get on board with us. Next week, we will be back with another Next Step. I want to wish all of you a very, very Merry Christmas. May there be peace on earth, and may it start with each and every one of us. May you find the peace in your life. May the new year that's upon us be filled with blessings that come from God. But in that same blessing, may we find the Christ child that is just sitting there, sometimes dormant within our lives, waiting to be awakened. Awaken him. Awaken him with your praises. Awaken him with the inspiration that, well, is all around us, sometimes in music, sometimes in words, sometimes in just the stillness that is all around you. You'll find it. And so with that, I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. And I'll take this opportunity to wish a Merry Christmas to everyone who makes this show possible. For all of you, you donors, for you with your prayers, your well wishes, and to this wonderful team that we have over here, beginning with the St. Peter Armenian Church here in Glendale, all of the wonderful workers here. This evening we're going to be celebrating Christmas Eve with a very special live nativity. For the wonderful team who puts together this show, week after week now, going on into its 8th year, for Susie, our producer, to Ken, our engineer, to Susan, my wife in the background, who does so much to inspire and keep us going, for Vadajan for the lovely music. This year we're not going to get to be together, but hey, he is here with us in spirit, and every time that we play one of his songs. Hey, listen, for the wonderful team and for me personally, Merry Christmas. In Armenian we say, Christos Zanaviev Haidnetsav, Christ is born and revealed. He is born and revealed, and not only today, every day that we exercise love. I look forward to being with you again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Okay. Anything else?
Jesus is the reason of the season.